Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7 Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, where we take you through slowly and methodically and try to explain God's words and a little bit more easily to understand conversation. This book is full of hidden meanings. God said so himself, that does my heart good for those, for kings to search out the hidden mysteries in my book. Don't just think what you're reading the first time through is exactly what it means, or it doesn't have a dual meaning or a spiritual meaning. It's in there. You got to read this book over and over and over. You got to devour it. We're into the book of Daniel. The children of Israel had come out of Canaan with the first covenant given to Abraham. Follow me with all your heart. They wouldn't do it. God laid the law on them. The law was meant to show them that all they had to do was follow him with their heart. Because if they'd done that, it trumped the law. And we've seen that when Christ came. Christ fulfilled the law, but he worked on the Sabbath. But it shows that a perfect heart trumps everything. And we see that explained with the story of David, who God said had a perfect heart, but still committed murder and adultery and covetousness and lied. But his heart was never going along with it. Does that make any sense? Yes, Christian. Have you ever been in a bad situation in your life where you didn't even realize how you'd gotten so far from God, but the little voice inside you was still crying out that you knew you shouldn't be there? There is the spirit man inside you in the heart. God says, I place the spirit in the heart. The mind of man is contrary to the will of God, and the flesh is an abomination. It's up to the spirit man to take control. The children of Israel, the law was laid on them. They came into Canaan, disobeyed God in every way you could possibly imagine. Their kingdom didn't last long, and now they're carried away into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, their enemy, but a servant of God. And we see through the first few chapters of Daniel how Nebuchadnezzar, who is a servant of God, he says, so God sent me here to do this. And you'll see his relationship with God grow to the point now he's made a proclamation that everyone in Babylon, the whole nation, would serve the God of the Hebrews. So Daniel is, among other things, a lesson in spiritual growth. And we see that in King Nebuchadnezzar. And he's just come through the time when he's had the dream where he would go out into the field and become a crazy man for 7 years and eat grass and run around naked. And it's because of the pride that was in him. Even though he was serving God in a limited fashion, he was full of pride and exalting himself. And we've said so many times here, you pay for your sins in this life. He paid for his sins in his life. And like I said before, he's the one that wrote chapter 4. So we're into chapter 5, book of Daniel. Now Belshazzar, that's Daniel's Babylonian name, the king made a great feast to 1,000 of the lords. So chapter 5, the book of Daniel. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. Now this is right after Nebuchadnezzar's son has taken control of the kingdom. That the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Pride runs in family lines. So Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, has inherited his father's pride. So he brings all the vessels of gold and silver that were taken from the Jewish temple And they just want to show that they're bigger than God. They're going to drink out of those holy vessels. And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass and of iron, of wood and of stone. And we see there again, as we did with all the kings of Israel, a good one would come along and try to reshape the nation to follow God. And they would for a little while. As soon as he was gone, they were right back where they were, worshiping other gods. And this guy has done the same thing, totally ignoring the legacy of his father, Nebuchadnezzar, who had grown to worship the Almighty God. So this one here is putting it right back, putting the nation right back where it was, and making a show of it, that he is bigger than the Lord. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall. Wow. This is terrifying. You're going to see how terrifying it was to this young man, the king. This hand appears. It starts carving in the plaster on the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed. He messed himself.
Yep.
Can't imagine. I mean, I've had some terrifying moments in my life, but never that terrifying, apparently. And his feet and his knees smote one against the other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed in scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." And then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods." She knows there's something about Daniel, but doesn't know exactly what. Thinks there's many gods in him. "And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belshazzar with a T. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, and they should read this writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. So nobody in the land could understand what God had written on the wall. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." Apparently, after the death of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel went into somewhat retirement, because Nebuchadnezzar had made him ruler of the astrologers and the magi. Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and let thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. I don't want anything, but I'll tell you what it says."
Because he's
I'm imagining that he's seen what's written on the wall.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's just like, you know what? You can keep the gifts and stuff.
Yeah. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew, and he kept alive, whom he set up, and whom he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. They took his glory from him. Talking about the pride, that Nebuchadnezzar spent 7 years wandering in the field, eating grass naked, to humble him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will.
It makes me think of the fellow that was possessed with legion, almost, because they said he was a wild man out there, away from everybody, being led wildly.
I'm sure some sort of spirit was sent to take over him, because he was pushed to the back of his mind and wasn't able to control his body.
Right.
But when he came through that, apparently he was conscious the whole time.
Yeah. Like he was witnessing it.
Yeah.
That's...
So when he came through it, he exalted the God of heaven. And thou, O son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. You've seen all this, and you didn't pay attention, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of this house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drank wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose all in all thy ways hast thou not glorified. You've seen everything that happened to your father. After those 7 years that he ran around like a wild beast, you've seen that he praised the Almighty God and his kingdom was restored. But you have chosen another path. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. This is the meaning that was written. Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom. Amazing. Such one word contains an entire sentence. English, all the languages of this world, except for Hebrew, and this is not even Hebrew, it's an angelic language, are so simplistic and elementary. This word contains an entire sentence. Mm-hmm. And finished it. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Your days are numbered. Your kingdom will end. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. You have been judged unworthy. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persian. That's self-explanatory. Your kingdom will be split in half, given to two different persons. Then commanded Belshazzar that they clothe Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Chapter 6, Book of Daniel, with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So he's setting up Daniel. He recognizes the value of Daniel immediately. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault. So these guys who he was were passed over, and Daniel was elected higher than them, you know, like it is in so many offices, you know. Mm-hmm. I should have got that promotion.
Yep.
I'll deal with him. Wait till they see all of his files that are messed up.
Yeah.
But they couldn't find any reason to bring fault to the king. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. You know, there's a small lesson in there too. You know, in your job, in your vocation, you might not be serving the greatest follower of God, but if you're doing the job, you're being paid to do the job, and it's your position, do it to the utmost. Well, I'm not going to work hard for him. He's a heathen. He doesn't follow God. No.
No.
It is your responsibility to set an example. If that's who you work for, you do for them the best job that you can. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. We're still going to see some pride in the kingdom here, even under another king. The spirit of pride is deep in that kingdom. Oh, you thought it was just something that you did yourself. No. It's spiritual power. Pride just doesn't develop inside you. It indwells you.
It's just like a blessing. It's just a seed.
Yes.
And if you water it, it'll grow.
Right. It exists in the unseen realms that are all around us, the Bible said. Spirits that have this is their one gift that they have to indwell into men. And that gift will bring a man down, pride. All the presidents, the kingdoms, and governors, and the princes, and the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save O thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So, O king, you're great. And you're like the greatest of all the gods and kings ever was. Don't pay any attention to those stories about Nebuchadnezzar. You know, we got a little a decree here. If anyone prays and asks anything of any other god, mm-hmm, or anyone else other than you for 30 days, yeah, let's throw him in the lion's den. The king says, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I am the greatest one in the land.
You are honoring me.
Yes, you're honoring me. And yeah, I like this thing. Yeah. What could go wrong? Now, O king, establish the decree and sign in the writing that it not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. There was a statute that even kings abided to. It's called the law of the Medes and Persians. If it is similar, even more powerful than an article within the Constitution of the United States that cannot be changed. So if a king made a decree and the decree was stamped, the decree of the Medes and Persians, even he could not change it. It was like permanent. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel knew this. He's basically a law-abiding citizen. But when a law contradicts the laws of God, you better follow the laws of God and not worry about the ramifications. That's what we're going to see here. God will take care of you. You follow the law, his laws. Don't say, well, that's the law. I had to follow it. No. God will honor you for keeping his statutes. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They had planned this from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They knew he'd be there at 6 o'clock that evening. Had their Polaroids ready.
Yeah.
Snapped a bunch of pictures. Dated pictures.
Yep.
There's a sketch artist there. Sketch him. He's on his knees. All right. Here, let me date it. Sign it. Got a notary. They brought a notary with them. Notarized it. Done deal. And they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree, sire? That every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king says, he said, the thing is true. Yes, I did that, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which I cannot change. Yeah, that's true. Then answered they and said before the king, oh, you know your buddy Daniel, the one you made second in command?
Yeah, the one's always at all your barbecues.
Yeah. That guy that serves you so well? Well, apparently he doesn't, because that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he regardeth not thee. He just kind of blew off that decree, king. O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day, not just once. We got him. We got pictures of him kneeling down to his God 3 times a day. And we heard he wasn't praying to you. He was praying to this almighty God in heaven. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He knew he was set up. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. I mean,
I'm trying to figure a way to get him out of it.
Yes, but I mean, what I've always wondered, what type of power did this decree of the Medes and Persians have over the king of all the world?
It makes me wonder if it's the root of the original shadow government.
Yes, was there some back room dude smoking cigars that would off the king if he dared to go against the Medes, the decree of the Medes and Persians? Or was it a religious thing that would rile up all of the citizenry? But the king, he can't figure out how to get him out of it. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. It's the law, and it abides even to you. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. We see this again when it comes to Esther. You know, the same decree is given by the king. On this day, kill all the Jews, take all their money, bring it to me. And the king realizes he's been played. He can't cancel that decree, but he puts out another decree. On this day, when they come to kill you, Jews fight back and kill them. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Huh? King Darius has got a little faith in Daniel's God. Don't worry, Daniel. I know I messed up. I messed up big time, buddy. These guys messed with my pride, and I got you into this, but I know your God will save you. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So they put Daniel in the lion's den, and these lions were not well fed. You only fed them every once in a while to make sure that if they had someone to throw in there, he would be eaten.
Right.
And he put a rock on it, and he puts the little clay seal on there with his ring. The king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So the king is pacing the floor. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, for inasmuch that before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. God has brought salvation, as you said he would, as I knew he would, because I have never meant anything wrong to you, O king. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. I can see him as they pull the rock away. He's sitting with a lion on each side petting him.
Yeah. Both purring.
And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces. Forever they came at the bottom of the den. So, a couple lessons there. Trust God. Follow the law when it is contrary to the will of God? No. You follow God's law. And trust him for your salvation. And you see what happens when you conspire against innocent people. David is an example of that also. But David had a heart toward God. His punishment wasn't near what the punishment of these heathens were, who conspired against a man of God, thrown in, and their entire families. God is no respecter of persons. The entire families knew about what the plan was. Not a one of them raised a voice or made any kind of objection. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and recuseth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He went David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WBFF 97.7. Basic information before leaving Earth, the first time you read it. And you read it over and over and over again, and it becomes more intricate information, more complex information, more spiritual information. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Get ready to see America in this book. Yes, she's in here. Many places. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my visions by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. First was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet, as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it was raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl and beast, had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and the mouth speaking great things. Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.